Hello, this is Mrs. Ferguson. We are nearing the end of this book. I, as your narrator, am already feeling this coming separation when we will part company. There is a sadness, I confess. It reminds me of an occasion when Dwayne dropped by on Squint during one of the painter's annual summer visits. Squint is the painter that we'd met earlier. It's likely that he had another name prior to coming up to the very, very far north, but Squint is the name Dwayne gave him, so Squint he will be. Squint was sitting on a stool at the cliffside above the cold, cold ocean, facing the empty square on his easel, and there was an iceberg behind it, far in the distance. Dwayne stood behind Squint and watched him paint. He tried to be quiet, he tried to be respectful, and he tried to be thoughtful. He stroked his chin as he'd seen Cece do with one of her wings when she was thinking. He nodded approvingly, as he'd seen Hansen do on occasion. But Dwayne wasn't quite sure what he was approving of. "You're painting that iceberg," Dwayne observed out loud. "Yes, I am," replied Squint. "Hmm, I see," said Dwayne, nodding purposefully this time. In the pause that followed, Dwayne realized that he didn't see at all. "Why?" he asked. "Why what, Dwayne? Why are you painting that iceberg?" "It's beautiful when it sparkles in the sunlight," replied Squint. This was something Dwayne wholeheartedly agreed with, as ice was at the top of his list of wonderful, beautiful things in the world. This would have also been an ideal moment to nod agreeably, but the moment passed too soon. In the next moment, Dwayne had reached a conclusion. "And so you paint beautiful things?" he asked Squint. "I paint sad things too, and scary things, and lonely things." "Beautiful things, sad things, scary things, and lonely things," thought Dwayne. This was a description of a single day in his life. Painting, it all seemed like a lot of work. "Why don't you just look at the iceberg?" "All right," said Squint. He put down his brush and stood beside Dwayne. Together they looked at the beautiful, sparkly iceberg. In the next moment, the sun rose higher. Its rays passed above the clouds, and the clouds in turn brushed shadows onto the sleek surfaces of the iceberg and the surrounding water. "Eventually it will melt," said Squint matter-of-factly. To Dwayne, a melted iceberg would unquestionably fall under the sad things category. "It will end up a puddle," Dwayne said. "Lost in an ocean," added Squint. Dwayne scratched his neck just below his jaw. "Would you paint a puddle lost in an ocean?" "Not today," said Squint. "Today is a day to paint icebergs." And then he sat back on his stool. Dwayne continued to stand and stare at the beautiful sparkly ice. He found himself nodding before he even realized he was doing it. This time he was nodding knowingly. "If you capture the iceberg on the square," he began, "then it will stay the same forever and ever." "In a way, yes," replied Squint. Dwayne sighed. It was a small sigh stuffed with lots of feelings. An iceberg preserved in time. He was sure that his grandfather Clock with the missing hands would have something to say on the topic. "I should let you get on with it, then." There has been some discussion among the characters. The question came up of how to bring this book to a proper ending. Cece thought it best to show you a map, along with clear instructions on how to find the very, very far north. Hansom was sure you'd want a list of his grooming tips. Magic thought it would be a great trick to reprint the same stories over and over again so that you stayed up all night reading them until you finally figured out something was wrong. But by then it would be morning and you would be too tired to go to school. Major Puff insisted that a simple history of all the Puffin Wars would fit in perfectly. Boo then said, "It would make the book too long." Nobody heard her except Twitch, but she didn't want to repeat what Boo said so as not to hurt the Major's feelings. Dwayne said that I should end the book with something that is fun, that takes place in winter and that involves a bit of adventure, but nothing too scary. Well, that started a whole new discussion. Many stories were suggested, but this is what the characters agreed upon. Dwayne awoke from a refreshing nap with more energy than he knew what to do with. When he tried to sit still, his left foot tapped. When he focused on keeping his left foot still, his claws twiddled. When he concentrated on keeping his claws still, his right foot began to shake. So he left his cave and walked over to the frozen river, because a day when you have more energy than you know what to do with is a day when you should be practicing your sliding. It had been Dwayne's goal for a long time to be able to reach the other side of the river with a single slide. Standing at the riverbank, he felt confident that this would be the day. The conditions were perfect. The river ice was smooth, and what little wind Dwayne detected was blowing from behind. "Plus, I have more energy than I know what to do with," he said to himself. For this historic attempt, a running start was necessary. Dwayne would need to pick up as much speed as possible. He walked back from the smooth ice up the riverbank side, counting 50 steps out loud as he went along. 1, 2, 3, 4. And when he got to steps 37 and higher, he lost interest in counting numbers and started thinking of other things to count, like Snow Delight flavors. 38, 39, blackberry, huckleberry, 45, strawberry, 32, raspberry. So it is very likely that he took fewer than 50 steps, or perhaps many more. In any case, Dwayne eventually stopped and turned to face the frozen river. If he made it across to the other side, he would have an amazing story to tell his friends later. He could well imagine their expressions of awe and their demands that he tell the story again. There might be an impromptu celebration, including snow delights of different flavors, all raised in a toast to Dwayne's accomplishment. Unless they didn't believe him. Unless they thought he was exaggerating. Unless they demanded proof. Then he would have to slide again with everyone watching so that there would be witnesses. But what if he didn't have as much energy for that attempt? What if he was slightly tuckered out from the first attempt or from eating several delicious blackberry snow delights? What if he didn't slide completely across the river the second time? His friends would think he'd lied, even though he absolutely did make it across the first time. Why even bother trying the first time if everyone was going to call him a liar later? Dwayne was offended that his friends wouldn't give him the benefit of the doubt. True friends should believe one another, he insisted, and he was about to say just that when he remembered that his friends weren't there. This whole conversation has been happening in my head, he scolded himself, and I still don't even know if I can make it across the river yet. With a shrug, Dwayne took off down the riverbank, going as fast as his legs would carry him. Whoosh! Went the air, rushing to get out of his way. Dwayne felt unstoppable. As he reached the frozen shore, he lunged forward, head first, his belly making slippery contact with the flat, smooth ice. Whoosh! Went the air again. Dwayne slid at a stupendous speed. It was amazing. It felt as if he hadn't yet slowed down at all. In seconds, he'd already crossed a quarter of the way. At this rate, I will make it across to the other side for sure. Dwayne's attention was drawn to a figure coming toward him along the frozen ice. It was Sun Girl. Dwayne knew it was Sun Girl because she was wearing the bright red parka she loved so much. What a relief, thought Dwayne. For now I will have a witness to my record-breaking slide, so I won't have to do it again later to prove to my friends that I did it a first time. Sun Girl, Dwayne yelled, look at me. I'm about to make history. If Sun Girl yelled anything back, Dwayne was still too far away to hear it, but she did wave in greeting. If she waved, that means she saw me. And if she then sees me reach the other side, my friends will have to believe me and hold a party in my honor, and I will eat lots of delicious snow delights. Even at the speed he was sliding across the ice, Dwayne could still take the time to imagine how delicious 1 or 4 blackberry snow delights would taste. Although I wonder, Dwayne hesitated, if Sun Girl was really saying hello. Waving both arms frantically doesn't really seem like a proper hello greeting. It seems more of a wave one should give if you were trying to warn someone of something. That was when Dwayne noticed a large round hole cut in the river ice directly in the path as he was sliding along. Definitely a warning wave, Dwayne concluded. With great effort, he attempted to stop his slide, first by using his front paws, then by using his back paws, and then by using all paws, and then by trying to flip himself onto his back. All he managed to do was rotate 180 degrees so that he was sliding tail first instead of head first, which still had its merits because when he finally did slide directly into the ice hole, he found himself stuck snugly in the river ice from the waist down, which is much better than being stuck the other way, from the waist up. Hello, Dwayne, said Sun Girl when she reached him. I see you found my fishing hole. I did, Dwayne agreed. Were you having much success? Not at first, replied Sun Girl, but it seems I've caught a polar bear. Yes, that would be me. Will you be there long, Dwayne? Asked Sun Girl. I did have my heart set on a fish dinner tonight. I completely understand, and I shouldn't be more than 2 shakes of a paw. Dwayne pushed his front paws down against the ice in an effort to lift himself out of the hole. Even with having more energy than he knew what to do with, he didn't have much success. Maybe four shakes of a paw, he clarified. Again he tried, but the results were no different. I was wondering, Dwayne began, perhaps you could encourage larger fish to come by if you cut your fishing hole a little bit wider. I would do that, except my ice saw went into the water along with my fishing spear when you slid into the hole. Oh, said Dwayne, discouraged. In that case, would you ask some of my friends to come and help? I'm quite wedged in here and my bottom is getting very, very wet. Sun Girl agreed, and while she went off in search of assistance, Dwayne continued staying wedged in the fishing hole, pondering how the day was turning out quite differently from how he'd imagined. There would be no historical single slide across the river. No amazing story to tell. No impromptu celebration complete with blackberry snow delights. You can't plan these things, he told himself. You can have hopes and you can have goals, but a day will take you where a day wants to go. Eventually, Sun Girl returned with Handsome, Boo, Major Puff, Twitch, and Magic, as well as her eight sled dogs, who referred to themselves as the Pack. She tied one end of a rope around Dwayne's waist and then wrapped the remaining length around everyone else except Major Puff, who felt he would be more useful giving commands. Heave! Shouted the Major. The team of friends did heave, and the ice around Dwayne began to crack. Heave! Shouted the Major, this time with even more vigor. Come on, put some muscle into it! The fishing hole's edge started to crumble. Heave! Shouted the Major, who was quite enjoying himself. We're nearly there, lads! And with a definite pop, Dwayne was set free, sending the team of friends onto their backsides. Only seconds later, Cece flew in to join the group. She had been following Dwayne's ordeal through her telescope back on the shipwreck and rushed over as soon as she could with a small jar of grease. Sadly, her arrival was too late to apply some science to the situation. Dwayne stood up, shook himself off. Together with Sun Girl, he inspected the fishing hole, which now looked much less round. I seem to have broken it, he said apologetically. Sun Girl nodded in agreement. Dwayne felt personally responsible, so he crouched beside the hole and thrust one paw into the water. He thrashed about for a few seconds, and shortly after, the ice saw and the spear bobbed up to the surface. Sun Girl was grateful. Come on, Dwayne, demanded Magic. We are all dying to know how you became wedged in the fishing hole. No doubt there's an amusing story worth telling us. Yes? Asked Handsome. As a matter of fact, there is, began Dwayne. You see, I woke up from nap with more energy than I knew what to do with, so I... Twitch interrupted. I would like to suggest that we continue hearing the story at my and Major Puff's residence. We will be serving tea and berries that I've saved from last summer. Snow delights are optional for those who prefer them. The present company, including Sun Girl and the Pack, approved of this suggestion. Following the Major to take the lead, they... This way, lads! Dwayne held back until everyone had gone ahead. He looked one last time at the broken fishing hole that had prevented him from making history. But he grinned a very big grin anyway, because in a short while he would be encircled by his friends, telling them an interesting story and eating blackberry snow delights. Sometimes a day has a change of heart and decides to take you where you want to go. Well, we have reached the point in the book where we must part company. I have no doubt there will be more stories to tell, but what happens tomorrow or the day after, I cannot say for sure. Whether Dwayne feels an itch to explore or a stronger pull to sleep in until noon is anyone's guess. It's conceivable that Twitch will want to do some baking in the morning, but she might not. She may choose to join Major Puff in some early marching drills. And it's likely that Cece will be working on an experiment towards the benefit of all. But she may decide that a day atop the deck of the shipwreck, pondering the universe's mysteries, may better serve her studies in the long run. And like the armless grandfather clock talking away in Dwayne's cave, I can tell you what is happening now. Everything else is just possibility. Hello? Now that you've come to the end of the book, it seems like a good time to give a proper greeting, which I'm doing now with the help of Cece, who is actually writing this letter. I was about to introduce myself earlier, just before Chapter 6, but Major Puff cautioned against it. He thought we should study for a while. Magic insisted it would be more fun to surprise you by all of us yelling, Boo! As soon as you finish the first story. The last story. Boo requested that she be left out of it. both Handsome and Twitch reassured me that I would know in my heart when the proper time was to make your acquaintance. That time, it seems, is now. You see, I worry that after you put down the book, you'll forget about us. That would be terribly unfortunate, as we are just getting to know each other. I was wondering if we had things in common. For example, do you have a close friend who is a muskox? What is your personal opinion on bear hugs? I'm in favor of them. Cece, who is still writing this and now shaking her head, is not. What kind of icicles do you have where you live? I don't mean to be nosy. I just think that questions are important when building a friendship. Before you go, and before you close this book, I would like to make a suggestion. Should you find the opportunity to come up north one day, please stop by to say hello in person. We could go exploring together. You could tell me your name. But if you don't have a name, don't worry. I can give you one. Cece says I'm good at that. Until then, Dwayne the Polar Bear.